And we have with us Stephen Trigg, the Chief Executive of the Blues. Stephen, welcome again to Grandstand AFL.
Thanks, Jared.
The week has been a proactive one for Carlton. Why did you decide to reiterate and make absolutely unequivocal the phrase rebuild surrounding Carlton?
That's a good question. We reflected on our summer. We felt that we'd made the message quite clear about where we were at. Inevitably, across the summer, you want to mix the optimism and, feeling of goodwill and where we're going, but with a sense of realism of where our list was at. But it seemed in the first couple of weeks that maybe that message hadn't been got across, and so we just wanted to put a stamp on it and call it as it was. It's interesting, Jared, that since arrival at Carlton, there's been a lot of feedback direct to me about just being honest of where you're at, so we took that approach.
Is there a risk that it's an inherently pessimistic message?
Well, you run that risk, and no club likes to... No, I don't think any club feels comfortable in acceding to or acknowledging the fact that there is a rebuild ahead of you. It has a connotation of bottoming out. It has a connotation of we can't win. And we're not taking that approach. We're not taking the approach that we have to go to the bottom, but we are taking the approach that if we want to be a dominant football team and a dominant football club, not just one that turns up, you know, Carlton supporters in their cars coming to the footy today and thinking, I wonder what we're going to get, but a dominant team, a dominant football club again, it's going to take some time to use the word, rebuild the list, to get it to with the depth that we need to be the dominant club that we want. So call it out and take all supporters, all Carlton people with us for the ride that goes, you know, understand where we're at and understand where we're going.
Just before I bring Mark McClure in here, just I think definitions and terms of reference are really important. Mm. You're within a season, so for the next 20 weeks, you can't change the Carlton list. So let me work through these four concepts of how I would define a rebuild, and you acknowledge whether you think that's right for Carlton or not. Mm. Where winning isn't forsaken, but it is not the priority.
Now, winning certainly at this stage of the year is you don't want to mess with your culture. You have to have a mentality for all coaches, all staff, all club, that every game is valued in terms of the win-loss. But we've always got a mind to how we're developing players on game day and away from game day.
So selection and setup services the future rather than the immediate?
Well, again, I don't think there's an easy yes and no answer to your question here, because Mick articulated it best. Mick is on the same page with all this. Mick is saying, we need to expose Dylan Viojo Rainbow to some senior footy. But you don't want players to go out there and in an uncompetitive environment because they don't learn as quickly and as well as they should. So you have to have the backbone of your side competitive and preferably winning to be able to give them good experiences.
In a rebuild, I would argue that you do play players ahead of their times. You
sometimes
do
that happens.
Gift
That's
games
fair.
For
That's
experience.
Fair. They're not gifted. That's a difference. They're not gifted. That's my point.
And the last one is that when the choice is between a younger player and an older player, somewhere near parity, not on parity, but somewhere near it, you will always defer to the younger player.
So long as their form warrants it, there's the potential for that. Because what you're looking for from your senior players, particularly when you have such a heavy reliance on them as we do, we need a performance.
In the briefing we had in the off-season, which probably didn't get the traction in, I acknowledge that, because that's where it was reasonably clearly stated. You essentially, I felt, gave license for Mick to coach for the future. In fact, there was an obligation to coach for the future. And then he responded with, I don't coach for the next 3 years, I coach for the next minute.
Yeah.
That was the quote. Yeah. Is I would put to you that you can't have a coach right now coaching for the next minute to achieve what you want. You said it was not incongruous, and yet I couldn't help but feel that it was.
Well, I don't believe that it is, Jared. No, you're an intelligent man, very articulate, put it well. But I don't think it isn't incongruent. I think that a coach, whether it's Guy or Mick or Barbecue Benny, has an absolute obligation to get a winning performance out there. It's what your supporters want. But how we go about within that game, developing, say, Clem Smith and what we do with him within that game, is part of the strategy. It's not incongruent at all for him to say, I'm coaching to win this game. I would be very disappointed if he threw that away.
Is he the one that this is most difficult for, regardless of personality? Because he is a coach in his last year, and a coach in his last year desperately needs wins. Mm. And yet, I still think you're having a little bit each way. Carlton doesn't desperately need wins. Carlton desperately needs to set up to be winning games in 2 years' time.
But you said yourself, right? You said yourself that we only get another shot to reshape the list in October. and that's a fact. So what we need to do now is to give our young blokes who get in there a good experience on the ground. So to take it to the extreme, if you just decided we're going to take out Carrazzo and Simpson and Jamison and all these boys, just play the kids, and we have a really, I could think of a swear word, a really poor experience, you're not going to develop the young guys as quickly as you want to. So there is always going to be that balance there. We need to win, we need to develop, and that's always the tricky part. And I feel very, very confident with the most experienced coach in the competition. He gets it, and he's doing that. It's a little uncomfortable given the last year of the contract, I get that. But we've made that clear as well.
Mark McClough.
So, Stephen, last week, every bloke we went round last week was okay to play again this week. That's what you're saying, because you only made a couple of changes.
Four.
Only one, but one player, one young player in. That's what you're saying.
Well, what I would say to you, Sellers, is that it's the third debutante that we've of that calibre, besides Jones and Tutt, that we've played. And
Jones and Tutt aren't debutantes.
No, I'm just saying, besides those guys, Jones, not Jones, Smith, oh, Jax, Smith. And now Burns.
Yep, that's fine. The other thing is, I know you've made some changes over the pre-season, since you've been there, 6 months. Can you tell us about those?
Made a lot of change, and I'd really like to emphasise with Carlton supporters, it's all about trying to establish a foundation for that success that we want, for trying to regain that dominance. So what am I talking about? Yes, there's a new president, and obviously a new CEO, relatively speaking. New head of finance, new head of commercial, reset branding and marketing, done a lot of work in all that organisational area, but probably the most critical thing that people drive into the ground today, what's it about? It's about your list and your footy team. Yeah. And the Silvani appointment, I can't tell you how delighted I am with him heading up recruiting and heading our list management strategy, his network, his nous, his capacity to think through what it looks like over the next 2, 3, 4 years. We're in good shape. We're just going to have to hold our nerve.
The Carlton supporters who drive here today, it's not about what actually goes on in the back office. It's about 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Quite right.
2 o'clock every Saturday afternoon shapes your football club.
Which is why when Jared asked me about wins don't matter to you, wins still matter.
They do matter. But also, it's also about seeing the youth of the future. That's correct. One of the other things. And you can get excited about other things other than just winning, because you can see a future. So it's been poor.
So
how do you sell that to the members and get more members?
What I'd like to say to them is that we will communicate with them as well as we possibly can. There's probably going to be an element of us over-communicating. So we don't want to bug people, but we'll probably over-communicate in terms of where we're going on this journey of rebuilding the list. Being honest with people about where we're at and where we're going. Celebrating the little wins along the way that might be a Kieran Burns introduction and hopefully a really good game. And so it goes. So I'd hope that people understand, like almost every other club in the competition that's had to go through this at some stage, Carlton is no different. There is no magic wand, no white knight, no quick fix. If you want to build it sustainably like Hawthorn and Sydney have done, just give us a bit of time here, hold our nerve, get it right, underpin it with unity right throughout, don't claw our own eyes out, and we'll get there.
One of the things they want to be is they want to be proud of their footy club. They want to wear their jumper and wear it proudly. And at the moment, they're hurting.
So there's a lot of... I understand that, Mark. There's some build-up in that. And I also understand that I sat there last week. Let's be honest. I sat there last week in Perth, and for all the context that I know about where we're at and the work we have to do with the depth of our list, I was mortified with the lack of fight that was there on show for a period of last week's game. Not all of it, a period. Sometimes that's a bit symptomatic of preparation through the pre-season or of... depth or of experience out there. Sometimes these are hard to get, but we need to have people proud of sticking to plan, the development in our footy club, and on a week by week basis, every time you go out and you put that jumper on, it's a fight to the death.
Well, they're not really proud of what they've seen, but and I don't mind the process and all that you're doing. They're proud of what their club, their players do. Head over the ball, be in front, play the game how it should be played. And they haven't been. And the thing that gets me about that is the players all say they love Mick. Well, why don't they play like they love Mick? Can you answer that?
Well, if your proposition is that that's the only reason why we had a 45-minute lapse against Richmond, then... it's hard to defend, but there's probably other things going on, and it's why, Mark, it's why, to be fair, and it's uncomfortable, but it's why we want to see some of the season before we make such critical calls on our future of coaching.
I have no problem with that. I mean, this club's given away a lot of money to coaches over the years for cutting them off prior to their contracts finished. And the whole league has done so. So it's a lesson for learnt by a lot of people about that sort of stuff. So I'm happy that you're doing that. The other thing is, Stephen Silvani, you mentioned Stephen. What's his criteria about a player that they're going to recruit? Has he stepped that out for you?
Yes. Well, we do it in a collaborative sense. But, he's the lead hand in that. There's a range of criteria. I don't know, I need to spell everything out at the moment. But
you do.
Well, fundamentally, it's competitive.
Yeah, absolutely.
At level of competitiveness, spirit. We're looking for some more leadership to be able to build into our list. There's a range of things that we need if you project out 2, 3, 4 years in terms of key defenders and outside mids and depth of mid. There's a range of those things. So we've stepped that out, and we're now going to work to plan to develop what we've got and bring into the footy club.
I wrote down 2, 3 things that I thought that should be absolutely part of the thing. Is character is one of them. What sort of person you are. You know, competitive is absolutely. If you're not competitive, don't even turn up. Go and do knitting or something like that. Don't worry about it. And the other one is risk takers. We are devoid of risk takers. Mm. Why?
I'm not sure I can answer that.
Mm. Well, it comes down to recruiting. That's what it does come to.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah.
And again, Soss has just moved into that job, yeah. So you can't point the finger at him.
No. I'm just talking about the future.
Yeah. And I'm sure, and again, probably that's my next question. So if Soss is looking 3, 4, 5 years forward, I assume Mick's fairly integral to what type of players... Yeah. The Carlton need, because, you know, I know some recruiters will say it's all I deal in the futures market, and the coach will say I deal in the now market. I deal at round 3. I have to beat Essendon. Okay, and I don't get an opportunity to change that. But if I'm going forward, you know, how much say does Mick have in that type of play? Now, obviously, Soss will do the draft, but then there's, as you say, if you want to get leadership in, you want to get, I assume, then leadership comes with experience, and then it's the trade table. So do I assume you have a committee...
We're a list management committee guy, and look, it's not a perfect world, but I think the best way forward with that is for collaboration. So the senior coach is in there, your head of finance is in there, because we've got to manage the TPP on the way through.
Yep.
CEO, your recruiting, head of recruiting being Stephen. So we come to, we work through the issues and try and come to a collaborative approach. But in the end, Mick has very significant input. The most significant input really is with Stephen in terms of that build, sticking to plan. One of the things that I think Carlton people would be interested in is that we have set up...
Sorry, Stephen, you sit on that too?
Yes, I do, yeah. There's two rooms, and Andy McKay. Yep. There's two rooms that we've set up, co-joined, if you like, adjoining rooms. And we've made it a centre of list management excellence, if you like. From an IT perspective, every team's list on the wall, last 5 premiership teams, the where we are, the where we're going, what the sort of things that we need to do. And just by going in there... It actually puts you in the mode, not with, you know, rather than going to a bland room and having some papers in front of you. It's somewhere where you can live and breathe this thing about where we are with the list and where we need to take it. And I'm very confident that our commitment, immersion in where we need to take the list is very, very good, highest order.
Let me ask you this: you had any emails this couple of weeks?
emails,
letters. Phone calls.
A few hundred.
Someone got you in the street by the throat.
I had one bloke email me, he said, I don't like your brown suit.
That's fair enough too. Why would you wear one?
So two more. And I'll declare my opinion straight up here. I think Mick Malthouse has tried very hard at the start of this season. And I'm of the belief that he gets no credit for it. And that there are those who simply have a view that will never alter on him. And frankly, there are some who are out to get him. Do you think Mick has responded to the notion that he needed to be more inclusive, more polite, more giving to gather your tribe together?
I think the best way to answer that is that, there's some people who are very quick, you know, to fire upon him. The way I'll say is this, is that he's very, very clear about where we are, what needs to be done, in terms of list, team management, the works. He's also very clear of what we need to do in terms of the messaging, you know, and his absolute role in that. A couple of things have disappointed me over the summer. A newspaper that took a very cheeky view of his commentary that said, you know, I love my players, I love the summer, I love what we've done, tongue in cheek, can't see us losing a game. Now you could say, well, maybe it was risque, but to have taken it as an absolute, and created as an incongruent mixed message to us was wrong, I look at myself and I think maybe I should have come out and more strongly defended that position. That would be fair. I was a bit keen also, Jared, just to see how this was all tracking in a new environment for me. But I think he's rolled the sleeves up. He's on the same page with everybody. He's the most experienced coach in the competition, one of the best developers of people. Just allow us some time to work through the season, the decision, the most important decision for us. We've got no margin for error. We need to get the coaching decision right because we've got all these other things right, and it'll come in the back half of the year.
And the last one, I acknowledge that this might be awkward. Mark is a powerful voice, and he is deeply passionate about Carlton and affected by its plight. If you could ask Mark something to change his public commentary or to add to his public commentary, what would you ask of Mark at the moment?
Well, it's interesting because I would ask of Mark, as I would ask of any former board member, any person who's involved with Carlton, is please, you're entitled to your opinion and it's respected, including most obviously Mark's, with all of his experience and the job that he has to do. There's no worries with that. I wouldn't get upset. I haven't rung you and been uptight about it in the slightest, right? So, entitled to an opinion. What I would say to Mark and to everybody is have an opinion, but at the end of it, we have to be a united footy club. Right? Now, I can't emphasise that enough, because what's happened to Carlton in the past is when things have got rough or it hasn't gone our way, we've lost our nerve. History would say we've lost our nerve and started to turn on each other. We need unity with a basis of understanding of where we're at and where we're going. That's all I would say.
Stephen, appreciate your time.
Good on you guys.
Whose side are you on, Jared?
I don't play sides.
I said it to him. I was sort of trying to look at him.
It's all good.
Sorry, could I just one trigger? Have you noticed since you've come out and mentioned the R word, and I don't know why it's such a thing. I'm probably a little bit different because my only job has been building a club from nothing into something, you know. But have you noticed? I've noticed almost Carlton people, friends of mine, that almost it's like it's a balloon that's letting out its gas. It's squeaking, or it's just burst with all of this, just this massive letdown. Oh, at least we know where we're at. Whereas, maybe the pre-season there was a bit of this, but a bit of that. No one actually knew what we're trying to achieve at the Blues, but at least now we're on this path. All I say to that then is now the second step, and whether I'm trying to answer your question for sellers, Jared, is now, okay, how are we going to get there?
Yeah, we need to inform people. Yeah. We'll take people with us, communicate that well. It is a bit like the balloon letting some air out. We felt we'd communicated it well over the summer. We reflected and thought, no, we need to be really unambiguous about this. Every Carlton supporter has said to me ever, just be honest. So we're being honest, calling as it is, and for some that's uncomfortable. We need to make sure that we don't disincentivise any player who's running around at the moment, but we've got a building exercise in front of us that's quite significant, and I think that when people understand that, they go, yep, you're quite right, let's get on with it.
Yeah. Stephen, thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Stephen Trigg, the Chief Executive of the Carlton Football Club, with us on Grandstand AFL this afternoon.